It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins are in the studio with us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Ben.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, the last couple of weeks' programs, Wes and I have kind of talked about year-end planning, attempting to get one's legal house in order. Maybe it's your personal items, such as estate planning, will, power of attorney. Maybe it's your business, such as your corporation, your LLC. Is it in good standing?
Right.
Are the minutes up to date? And today, let's just talk about a word that is just absolutely one of the facts of life, which is procrastination.
Yes, yes.
And,
we know that one well.
And folks, particularly, we all procrastinate, every one of us, but people particularly procrastinate in their legal lives when they know that it's going to cost some money, if you will, to resolve some lingering issues. And I want to talk very specifically about some of those. I have a file in the office right now that is a fascinating file. A grandfather left his property, which is valuable property, he left all of his personal property, this was in a will, to his two sons. He left all of his land in a life estate for his three daughters with the remainder to the daughters' heirs, the children of the daughters. Okay?
Right.
Well, the daughters, all three of these daughters, had no children. They have no children.
Huh.
It's fascinating. That's a little unusual, put three people together, and all three of them have no children and in the same family at that.
Well, right. You start to see where the problems are going to come.
So there is no remainderment. There is no clear remainderment on now who owns this property. Now, back to the boys in the family. There were five children, remember, two boys and three girls. One of the boys also had no children.
Huh.
I might add, that boy, as well as the three daughters, had no husbands, had no spouses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But the one child, the one brother, did get married and did have two children, and those are the two children now that are in the office. So they are the grandchildren of their grandfather who left this property in a life estate to their three aunts. Okay? And now the aunts have died and have no children. And here we are.
Yes.
And I might add, it has been this way for years. I mean, 7-8 years.
Somebody's been paying taxes
they
on their property.
They pay the taxes.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do about this property. They know they don't own it because it was left to their aunts, not to their father, who was one of the sons.
But it was left in a life estate.
To their aunts.
Right.
With
okay.
the remainderman to the aunt's children. But there are no children.
Hmm.
So here we are, you know, in this file. And we will be able to find a solution to this file, but today's program is about procrastination. You know, imagine the two heirs that do exist, not working with this. They have put this off for a long time, and they now are seeking some guidance, and we'll see whether or not they follow through. Okay.
So are the two boys that were in that family, they both have deceased?
They both have died.
Wow.
One of the boys not having been married and having no children, just like the sisters. But one of the boys did have children, had two children who are the children that are in the office.
So they're the surviving heirs at the
moment.
Well,
we don't.
Sort of, maybe.
maybe, depending on some legal work.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just, you know, magical
that
this property becomes their property because it passed by will to these three daughters with very specific terms about where the remainder went.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could potentially frame up as a declaratory judgment action, reopening the estate. I mean, there are some. This file was just yesterday, but it's a good example of people who have an issue mm-hmm. that needs resolution, but have not quite gotten around to it. And so what I'm trying to say this morning is that to you listeners, to all our loyal listeners out there, if you have a legal issue in your family mm-hmm. that's been lingering for a while, maybe that easement on your property, maybe that encroachment that you know that it's there, but you haven't really done anything about it. Maybe that back lot that you know needs to be surveyed. There's always been a question about where the boundary line happens to be. All of these kinds of issues linger out there, Ben, mm-hmm. with our listeners. I'm ringing some bells by talking about this.
Yes,
this
right.
Moment.
You certainly are.
Now is the time. Yeah. While you are living and you can communicate, do not pass these issues on to the next generation, to your children and your grandchildren. They do not know the facts maybe as clearly as you do. And so if you have one of these issues that's unsettled in your family, and many times they do seem to center around real property holdings, mm-hmm. I might add.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell another
example
in a minute.
Yeah.
Now, Wes does the litigation in our office, and many times these files do frame up like a declaratory judgment. That's an option, and let me let Wes just take one moment and just explain just in general what a declaratory judgment
okay.
action is.
All right.
Right. Well, you know, under the scenario that Cecil laid out there, I mean, you know, I didn't know anything about those facts, frankly, until he started talking about it. So I just had all kind of questions about
yes.
it, but I didn't want to interrupt. But, you know, obviously there's some questions in that particular situation, in that fact pattern about, you know, who really holds title to the property.
Sure.
It seems convoluted with regard to that. There are probably some estate-related issues. So, you know, it could be necessary, depending on what research is done and what is found with regard to the facts in the case, for a DEC action to get filed, a declaratory judgment action for the court to make a declaration as to mm-hmm. who owns what. It could be that once all the research is done and that, you know, everything comes back as far as the various estates that are involved in this, that that's not necessary. It could certainly be that a proper analysis of each of these estates, wills, trusts that may be involved, you know, all the things that were mentioned, life estate, so on and so forth, that we're able to determine, you know, who has that ownership.
Mm-hmm.
But that does, in fact, then take us to the next step, because Cecil's absolutely right. There's a big question mark about who truly holds
right.
title to this right. valuable property now. And usually this heir property, as it's referred to, when it's owned by, you know, two or three or four at one generation, the next generation is going to be 10 or 11 or 12, and the next generation is going to be 20, 25, or 30.
And here's the reverse.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
If time goes on,
yeah,
then they're,
right.
they're potentially, you know, they're, you know, further heirs.
Yeah.
So it gets a little more difficult to deal with, you know, the actual fair division of the property
mm-hmm.
or a buying out the other heirs or mm-hmm. a partition proceeding, you know, obviously, because if there's more people to deal with, then there's more people to deal with. But, there's more people to serve. There's more people to satisfy. There's more
yeah.
people who are involved in the process.
But
so
not that, knowing all mm-hmm. the particulars here, though, let me ask a kind of a general question here. If you have a, you know, because there's a will present in this case, but if there's a will present, but it cannot be executed. I mean, the terms of the will were to particular people who don't exist any longer, nor do there any remainderment.
Well, the law would apply to that as to how the law addresses that particular will. I mean, basically, in the event that, you know, that all of the heirs that were named in the will are no longer living and don't have heirs, then mm-hmm. Most likely we would refer back to an intestacy situation. Lots of issues there.
Well,
but
that's,
I mean,
why they have, as of just yesterday, mm-hmm. you know, sought legal advice, and that's a good thing. So mm-hmm. That's a very, very good thing. But it's not like this last aunt died last week, you know, or a month ago. I mean, it's been a long time, and they haven't done anything about this.
Yes.
They've been waiting and waiting and hoping that, you know, someone somewhere, I guess, would figure it out, okay?
Yeah.
Now, Ben, here comes another one. got clients that are in our down east area of Carteret County, and they own several different tracts of land, probably as many as six or seven different tracts of land. Some of it, again, very valuable land. And, of course, it came through a grandfather to children, who then some of the children of which have died. And the land got divided and divided, okay? And so it's out there now in multiple generations, okay, and tenants in common per these estates.
Right.
And one of the grandchildren now, who is, you know, my age, has come in and said, you know, my brother now has died. His children are in their 20s. I guess now they've got his interest. This is just really getting out of control. I mean, like Wes was just saying, I mean, next thing you know, we're going to have 20 people owning this property.
Exactly.
One of the children of the owner, if you will, the next generation up from this gentleman who came to see me, this middle-aged gentleman, the older, is still living.
Right.
One of the brothers up the line is still living, as is one of the sisters. His parent has died, so he has taken their share, he and his sister, and now another brother has died, and that's gone down to even yet another generation. So as I said before, it's multiple generations. But what he is smart enough to know is that there are two of the original children that are still living. And so cross deeds from those two would be effective before it goes off to all their children.
Right, right.
And so, you know, he has all these maps and he has these appraisals, and we are to get together now and map out the different parcels and determine exactly who the owners are. And look at the appraisals and see if we can agree to say, well, let's let this side of the family take this property and let's let that side of the family take a different property.
We'll bring up the angle of the procrastination involved here, too. When we come back here in just a moment on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law, every Tuesday morning, answering your legal questions. If you would like to call us, you can call us now.
Call me at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
So, Cecil, you were telling us the story of all these tracts of land.
Right. And so what this gentleman knows, you know, he's in his 50s. Some of the up generation is still living, some of his aunts and uncles, and now some of the down generation,
right.
Some of his nieces and nephews. He's in the middle, and he is, you know, trying to now, once and for all, get these tracts of land divided and productive, if you will, so that they can be, someone can have benefit out of them. I mean, we already are talking about, you know, as many as five or six heirs in each of these tracts right now.
Right.
And that's before his up generation, his aunts and uncles die, and with two and three children. Now, keep in mind, Ben, we've talked about before on the program, you know, when you inherit property, that's wonderful. But when you go to trade property or cross-deed property or sell property, your spouse has to join in.
Right.
Even though they are not the person who inherited the property. So let's take those 20-year-old nieces and nephews that he's talking to me about, which fortunately he is on good terms with. But he of course proceeded to tell me, well, now one of them just got married. Does that make a difference, Mr. Harvell?
Yes.
You say. And the answer is absolutely it makes a difference. I mean, we have a lot of people at the table now. Because we have the original heirs, and now we have their spouses, if they have spouses. it can get very complicated very quickly. And what the tendency is, again, which is kind of the theme of the program today, is to just say, well, someone will work this out. I can't work this out. We procrastinate. We put it off. We don't get around to it. I mean, even this representative in the family, which is what I would call mm-hmm. him, a family representative. I mean, he asked, you know, well, who's going to pay the attorney bill
mm-hmm.
for you all to start to do work on this? Well, guess what? Yours truly.
Yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. he's in a real predicament. I understand that. We talked about this, mm-hmm. you know, to each other back and forth, because he can't go to his aunts and uncles. He's going to try to, and down to the nieces and nephews, and get money and say, we need to each chip in $500 so that we can come up with, you know, however many dollars to get these lawyers involved. I mean, he says that they might not do that.
Right.
And
right.
So there he is. So it is a problem, but my encouragement today is that is start asking the questions at mm-hmm. least, which is what these two files did, and let's see if there's any way in the world we can make some movement toward closure on these kinds of files.
Wes, I would imagine that procrastination here, if you don't go ahead and take care of these things, somebody is going to declare they have standing and try to, for a petition to partition and try to break up some of this property.
Yeah, that's true. And that could be the best remedy for any of the owners. I mean, mm-hmm. you just have to determine what the circumstance is in each particular file. But I would agree with Cecil that the general sentiment that, you know, one party coming forward to kind of fix this problem, mm-hmm. one of the biggest deterrents is, well, man, I don't want to have to cover the whole bill on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
Because yeah. a lot of the things, you know, that come about in this heir property, this tenants in common property, that finally kind of is the straw that breaks the camel's back, is, you know, a situation where you have certain owners of the property who aren't carrying their weight. They're not paying the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paying the insurance if there's insurance on the property. They're not doing anything to maintain the property. So eventually, you know, you've got maybe the one or two owners who are kind of tired of carrying the weight for everybody else.
Right.
But those one or two owners, you know they've got something valuable there, but they only own part of it. But maybe there's, you know, something in their mind that's like, well, you know, I don't want to go fix all this problem for everybody.
Right.
And pay for it too.
Yes.
Now, we have certainly dealt with situations before, in cases that I've dealt with where, the legal work that has been necessary in order to kind of break up or resolve this property out there that's, you know, not really worth anything to anybody because it's so convoluted with different owners, this heir property, where in the event that we end up proceeding with the partition before the court, then that party who has incurred the legal expense for doing that has been reimbursed mm-hmm. by order of the court. So under certain circumstances, you know, we can get that person made whole and kind of rewarded for coming forward and taking care of the issues. Because it really is in everyone's best interest.
If the court is of a mind to do that.
That's right. Well, you need a good lawyer.
Yeah, that's right.
To get them to think that way.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but nevertheless, I agree with Cecil. You know, that property, that heir property out there that's so divided up among different owners, it's not really worth much of anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm. So they've got to get a resolve.
I mean, let's figure out what we've got and deal with
it. Out. Okay. Right. More to come in just a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins, Attorneys at Law. You can reach them, of course, if you'd like to make that appointment. You can call them at 726-9050, and we'll have more to come in a moment. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal every Tuesday morning here on Coastal Daybreak. And so, again, the subject, procrastination.
Ben, another example that we run into often is our boundary lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that we're crossing over a road or an entranceway that we don't own. We've done it for years. We know that, you know, that that barn or that outbuilding that's ours, but it's, you know, 15 feet over on the neighbor's line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We know that we own the back lot, but we don't quite know where it ends. There's some controversy about, is it that path where it ends or is it the path 10 mm-hmm. feet down the way?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
There are just a plethora, if you will, of these kinds of lingering kind of real property questions,
mm-hmm.
all of which, Ben, are resolvable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an encroachment just takes an encroachment agreement, just an agreement that we acknowledge that there, that the barn is halfway, not halfway, but 15 feet on the neighbor's property.
Right.
And that we agree as follows.
Mm-hmm.
And we record that because it's a document touching and concerning real property.
It doesn't give up ownership. It's just
no,
an agreement.
No, it's just
yes.
an agreement.
Yeah.
Okay, the same with entrance. Well, we're passing over this entrance, but the entrance really isn't on our property to get to our property. We've
mm-hmm.
been doing it for years. Well, there needs to be an ingress and egress agreement. I mean, these things are resolvable rather than just leaving them in this gray lurking zone,
mm-hmm.
which basically just passes these issues on to the next generation.
Or the flip side of that is, well, I know my neighbor is on my property.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
not me on his property,
yeah.
but I know he's on my property. I
right.
know that my neighbor keeps using this road across my property, you know, and I don't know. There's some illegal effect there, but I think it'll be okay.
Then
well,
20 years pass.
Well, 20 years pass, and you pass away, and your children are dealing with it, and all of a sudden the children of the guy who's been driving across your property says, well, we've got adverse possession on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our fence has been there for 25 years, and here are the aerial photographs.
And it's now.
You know,
it's ours now.
Now and then, your children are saying, well, my daddy let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the document?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the evidence? And next thing you know, we're in court dealing with an adverse possession issue about who owns what, where if the parties who really know
mm-hmm.
just come together and communicate and put it in writing. Or even if, you know, let's say someone's coming across your property, you can communicate to them in the appropriate way. I
mm-hmm.
would recommend the help of an attorney to show it's permissive use.
Right.
You have the right. This is my property, but you have the right to be on this situation. At least that's some evidence to show that it's permissive. And permissive use can never ripen into adverse use, so that's strong evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little bit of paying attention to those kind of things and not just letting them go
can
save you and your family a lot of headaches in the future.
And with these tracts of land that have been owned for so long and now been passing down around generations, they're bound to have some of these issues.
Oh, yes.
They are.
They're
and,
all over
and,
the place.
And last but not least, I know we just have one moment. Ben, these issues also exist on the personal property side of things, the stocks, the bonds,
mm-hmm.
the bank accounts. We have a lot of files where one sibling,
mm-hmm.
For instance, the caregiver sibling many times has taken control and has transferred assets into their name.
All right.
And the rest of the family knows that.
Yeah, if you want to find out more, though, well, you're going to need to contact Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, 726-9050 on 1107 Bridges Street, Morehead City.